All right. And can you still hear me?
I can, yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay. The following interview was conducted with Toya Jones on behalf of the Southwest Virginia LGBTQ Plus History Project. It is 4:11 on March 21st, 2021, and we are meeting virtually via Zencastr. The interviewer is Alexis Ebreck. So starting from, I guess, the very beginning, Toya, could you tell me about your childhood and where you grew up?
Yes, I grew up mostly here in Roanoke, Virginia. As a child, we moved away to Virginia Beach for a little bit, but it was only for about 3-4 years. And then we ended up back here in Roanoke, Virginia. So for the most part, I am from Roanoke, Virginia. And as a child, I mean, I've had, you know, a pretty, pretty good childhood for the most part. Lots of good memories.
What's one of like the best memories from your childhood?
Well, wow. There's so many of them. I would say I stayed active outside. So when we grew up with a big family, even though there was 5 in my immediate family, we had, my grandmother had 9 kids. So it was a total of 13 grandkids. So just remember summers playing, you know, with my cousins outside until the street lights came on and catching lightning bugs and all that kind of good stuff. As a family, we would do, you know, take like family vacations every year to different locations. So pretty good memories.
Yeah. Would you say the relationship with your parents and just your whole family was pretty positive?
Yeah, it was for the most part. I'm sure, you know, my parents were married, now divorced, but they were married 35 years. But they didn't get divorced until after we graduated, you know, all of us graduated from high school. But for the most part, yes, grew up in a working class family. My mom, you know, went to work every day. My dad was self-employed. And so for the most part, yeah, we were pretty normal for the most part.
So the fact that your parents both worked, do you think that influenced you wanting to be a business owner and like wanting to stay in Roanoke?
I don't know. It's weird because, like, you know, people that I went to school with are surprised to see that I am still in Roanoke. they thought that I would have, you know, moved away to a bigger city because I am drawn to bigger cities. I try to get away every chance I get to, you know, larger cities. I've always had a really good work ethic. I don't know where that came from. But I guess I could even label myself as a workaholic, which is a good thing, and it could be a bad thing as well. I've always, you know, worked for, you know, health management positions with different companies until I decided to started working for myself. So for the most part, I've always had a good work ethic.
Mm-hmm. And since you did grow up in Roanoke, I feel like you could give us a bit of a unique perspective on how you think Roanoke has changed the most throughout your years here.
It's slowly progressing, I think. I feel like it should be a lot further along than what it is. But I definitely think that it's slowly progressing. Especially when it comes to like the LGBTQ group. I'm just thinking back, like, in some little incidents that I, you know, came across when I was younger. versus the acceptance now. So I definitely think that Roanoke has definitely progressed, for sure.
And when did you start to form, like, and accept your identity, like, within Roanoke? Or, like, how do you think that impacted your identity?
It's one of the things I've always known, like, I know people say this all the time, but, like, I mean, I've always known that there's something, you know, different about me. But, you know, of course, at such a young age, you can't really label it, or you don't know what it is. You just know that you feel different. I'm sorry. What was your main question about that?
Just how do you think that the living in Roanoke City came to help you accept or form your identity?
I can't really say that Roanoke has helped me form my identity. I live my life, you know, I surround myself around supportive people. Even though, you know, and even when I was in high school, I didn't really feel like I had that support system. But it wasn't until I was, you know, 21 where I actually started to, you know, that's actually when I came out to my parents as well. But it wasn't until I was 21 when I actually started, you know, realizing that, there's people like me. And then that's, you know, I met people and, you know, became friends with them, and it kind of like just progressed from there, really. But I can't say that Roanoke has helped formed my identity.
Mm-hmm. How did you begin? I know you said that you have like found friends that relate to you and your experiences. How did you begin to kind of find that community to kind of help you feel a positive attitude?
It was mostly through work. Like I said, when I was in high school, it was kind of like one of those subjects that were not talked about. And now it's definitely changed for sure. But just through work, I remember specifically when I was working at a customer service job, and I met because now we've been friends for like 25 years, but I met this particular person, and we immediately became like, you know, the best of friends. And, you know, he was gay and I was gay, and we would, you know, I just, we formed that bond, and, you know, just doing things that, you know, or going places where we could feel comfortable. You know, we would go to like the nightclubs and stuff like that in the area. But yeah, just basically finding friends at work that could relate.
Mm-hmm. When did you start working? Like, when did you start building this community that you've made for yourself?
You know, it really wasn't until it probably was around when I was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. It was just really weird. It was like, you know, I grew up in also a very religious household. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with a Pentecostal holiness, but that's what my mom was. And so I grew up in the church environment, and a very strict upbringing when it comes to religion. They were very strict. And so I feel like, we just had a very strict upbringing when it comes to religion. And so it wasn't until I was 20, 21 until I was able to really start to be myself. But that was also too then a couple years after I decided to leave, you know, the church as well that I was raised in. So I think that kind of like helped me along to kind of come into myself.
Mm-hmm. Why, what was kind of like the tipping point of why you chose to leave the church that you grew up in?
Well, as a Pentecostal holiness, you know, there was evangelist. There is like, they believed in speaking in tongues, and you'll have to, if you're not familiar with it, you'll definitely have to research it. But, you know, as far as the upbringing, like in the religion itself, like, you know, we weren't supposed to wear anything, quote unquote, pertaining to a man, because like, that's what they said, the Bible said. They didn't want us to get our ears pierced. They didn't want, you know, you couldn't wear makeup, which I never had a problem with that anyways, because I'm not that kind of girl. But, you know, the thing that really, I think, caused me to be, feel so out of place is because, the women couldn't wear pants. Like, you had to wear dresses, and they, of course, they had to be, you know, ankle length, you know, below the knees. So there's a lot of strict, dress codes and beliefs and things like that, that, you know, when I turned 18, I was like, yeah, I've got to go.
So what's kind of, can you talk more about, like the intersection of like growing up in a very religious household and wanting, and that not really allowing you to express yourself the way that you wanted?
Yeah, it was really hard. It was definitely hard. First and foremost, like, you know, the pastors, the preachers, would speak against homosexuality so much, to where it was like, that alone made me feel uncomfortable. And like I said, I grew up in the church, and I attended it until I was probably about 18 years old. But that alone, preaching against homosexuality, like Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and it wasn't even just Sundays. It was like, we attended church on Sunday, we went to Sunday school, and then we had day service on Sunday, and then we had night service on Sunday. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we had service. But then also there was like 12 o'clock prayer that during the summertime that, you know, we would be forced to go to. So it was, everything was like, you know, church, church, church. And of course, hearing, you know, a pastor screaming out, you know, queer to me, in a very derogatory term, it was definitely hard for me to even try to be myself in an environment like that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Did you have any, like, kind of how did you learn to, like, accept yourself as who you are and, like, how you want to express yourself?
Yeah, it was just one day. It was just one day. I was actually working at, I was actually an office manager at a job for the government. And funny story is, my mom actually worked there as well. I was the office manager. My mom worked in a different department. And there was a one woman there who was clearly gay. And so we had like different conversations about, you know, just about life in general. She kind of understood me, and, you know, because she knew, obviously she was much older than I was at the time, but she kind of knew, you know, probably knew, what I was going through, or what I was experiencing. And it was just a mutual thing. Like, we were, you know, really friendly. She was very friendly. And I remember, one day, I hadn't even come out yet. But one day she brought me this, this magazine, and it was, an Out magazine, for gay and lesbian, people. And she just handed it to me, and And I remember specifically a couple of weeks later, I was like, you know, I was tired of hiding. I was tired of lying to myself. I was tired of lying to my family. And so it was just one day, it just hit me. And I was like, you know, I can't do this anymore, you know. And I wrote a letter to my parents and left it on their pillow. And I went to stay with a friend for a couple of days to, you know, see how they would respond to it. And that was my coming out letter.
How did they respond to it?
It was definitely, it was not what I expected. I've always felt like, you know, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's just like the kind of like my upbringing, I always felt like it was harder. You know, I would have, you know, I had a lot of Caucasian friends, and I kind of, you know, I would spend a lot of time with them in their households. And when they would, you know, when they came out to their parents, you know, their parents were so accepting of them. And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, nothing changed. It was great, you know. But I always had this fear that, you know, my parents just would not accept me. And you hear stories of like people, you know, parents kicking, you know, their kids out or just like disowning them, which I've had a few friends whose parents disowned them as well. So, but yeah, I mean, it was definitely different. They didn't respond how I thought they would. My mom never mentioned a single thing about, even till this day, and this was like 22 years ago, my mom has never mentioned a single thing about that coming out letter to me. And I kind of felt hurt because, like, I thought out of all people that she would come to me and try to have that conversation with me. Instead, it was my dad who, you know, I was a little more close to my mom than my dad. But instead, it was my dad that called me after receiving the letter and said, you know, whenever you're ready to come home and talk, you know, let's talk. And then I went home a couple of days later and we went down to his office and, you know, he basically said, you know, I just want you to know that I love you. I'm going to love you regardless. And that was kind of really all, you know, he kind of did, you know, ask, well, what made you decide that you wanted to be this way? Of course, you know, they didn't understand it, but, you know, I was kind of explained to him nothing happened or I just didn't decide that I want to be this way. But the conversation was had and he basically said, you know, I love you regardless. And that was kind of it. Like, they never really talked about that particular letter again. And it's still to this day, my mom, like I said, she's never mentioned that letter at all.
Wow. Do you wish that she would have responded to it?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. And I feel like, you know, we've always been a close family. And so, like, yeah, I think any response would have been a good one at that point. It was just weird that my dad was the one that had that conversation with me, because I was so close to my mom and I felt like, you know, well, I would have loved to have heard that from her. But yeah, I mean, I feel like any response would have been a good response at that point. Just to have the conversation and have it open and for discussion.
Do you think that was kind of like the turning point within your own life? Like, how did that response from your parents and like being able to come out to them, how did that kind of change you and like your ability to kind of accept like being gay? And
it was mainly because, you know, I think when you just reach a certain, I think everyone is different, you know, like, you know, there, I still have some friends that still have not come out to their parents, and, you know, they're like 30, 35 years old. But I think just everyone is different. I feel like, you know, every person's story is different. And like, you know, I feel like that, and of course, every family is going to respond differently. So you can't, I don't know. I don't know. I just, sorry. I feel like, I feel like that, I don't know. I'm sitting here rambling. I'm so sorry. I'm rambling and I forgot. I forgot like the question. I'm so sorry.
No, you are okay.
What was your question again?
I think you kind of answered it throughout it, but it just kind of what your how that experience like with your parents kind of made you come to terms like with yourself.
I just think I was ready. I was just, again, like, just tired of lying, tired of pretending to be someone that I was not. And I, again, like I said, everyone just, I think everyone has their own time. And I just, I guess that was just my time. You know?
At that point in your life, did you have a lot of, or did you have any friends in the LGBTQ community?
When I came out, yes, I did. And then through work and through their friends and then meeting more friends within the community, it kind of grew from there. And it definitely made it a lot easier to have, you know, that supportive group of friends that kind of understood you, you know? So yes.
What, did you come out to your friends, before you came out to your parents?
Oh yeah. They knew. I mean, they knew. So it wasn't like I didn't really have to come out to I'll be honest with you. I have never really had to come out to any of my gay friends because like, they just knew it was clear.
Mm-hmm. How did, so like going from like one comfortable environment, versus like with your friends and then going to your parents' house, like, did you notice anything about you that would like change or like the way that you would carry yourself?
You know, I would be a little more careful around my nieces and nephews. Other than that, you know, I didn't really change much. I just think that, you know, I think people just, the more they come into themselves, the more they find themselves, and then they change that way. But as far as like, you know, of course I never, it wasn't probably until a couple of years later until I actually brought a girl to meet my parents. But as far as like, my change in character or anything like that, I didn't really change much. I did kind of like try to keep, that part of my life away from like my nieces and nephews. Because I didn't want, you know, and the way that my parents thought, some people think that, oh, if you touch someone, you'll be gay, or it can rub off on you, or it's contagious. And so, you know, I would have things like that, you know, in my mind. So I kind of like, you know, I definitely try to like hide that part of my life from my nieces and nephews when they were younger. But other than my character change, I didn't really change too much.
Would you say that you're much or like very involved within the LGBTQ community within Roanoke?
Not as much as I would like to be. When I came out, I was very, very, very gay, and like, you know, I attended like all the pride events and like everything they had gay related or LGBT, I was there. But life happens. And then, I started working for myself. And then, of course, that takes a lot of time. And then before you know it, it's just kind of like, it's just basically work, 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 work. So no, right, currently I am not actively involved in a lot of LGBT things.
And yeah, and it sounds like work is really important to you. So would you mind like sharing a little bit, how you got started with your business and how you got started to being so involved within your working life?
Yes, I started working for myself about 12 years ago. It's been 12 years. And I had the dream of opening a coffee shop, owning a coffee shop / bookstore. And, I tried opening a coffee shop 12 years ago, and the economy was like really, really horrible. And so I failed, and I had to close it down. But then I opened a property maintenance company. I still had, that dream, that goal that I was trying to achieve. So I actually opened a property maintenance company, and I picked up some contracts from a lot of the real estate companies here in the area. And that caused my business to grow. And with that business, I purchased a food truck, and we won a lot of really nice platinum awards with that. So I've had that for about 5 years. And so then, from the food truck, I then decided to try a brick and mortar location again. And so that landed me to Morning Brew Coffee. And so I've going in my 5th year running a coffee shop.
And is that in downtown Roanoke, your coffee shop?
It is, yes. I started out in Roanoke County, and then was presented an opportunity to move into the downtown Roanoke location. So my coffee shop is located inside of the Taubman Museum of Art.
Very cool. Kind of why did you get started, or why did you choose to locate your business in downtown? Did it just kind of happen, or was it targeted for that area?
Well, I was actually against it for most of the time. Because I would see a lot of coffee shops. I'm an avid coffee shop hopper. So any chance I get, whether it's here locally or away, that's like one of my favorite things to do, is just like check out indie coffee shops. But there's been a lot of coffee shops that came into the downtown Roanoke area, that failed. And, I was always against the idea of trying to put my coffee shop in downtown Roanoke. It just happened by coincidence, really. Like one of my food truck fans that would frequent my food truck every weekend came to me and was like, "Hey, I know of a space in downtown Roanoke that my her mom was actually a volunteer with the museum, and they're trying to get it filled. Would you be interested or consider moving to downtown Roanoke?" And it was a really hard decision. I thought about it, thought about it for weeks and weeks, actually until probably a month. And I finally decided to, meet with some of the museum director, and we had that conversation, meeting after meeting after meeting. So it wasn't then until I finally decided to give it a shot.
Would you say that that's kind of your biggest accomplishment in your life is starting this business for yourself?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely one that I'm proud of. We didn't grow up, rich by any means. We were just a middle or working class family. Because it was the ultimate goal. Well, the ultimate goal was to have a coffee shop with a bookstore inside of it. But it was the ultimate goal, and just to be able to, achieve that. I think it actually exceeded my expectations, like being here, this the museum that my business is housed in. It's like, a $66 million architectural project. And it's actually one of the most expensive buildings in downtown Roanoke. And did I ever imagine myself being here? No, but I'm here. And so, I would say it's definitely a major achievement for me.
I know you mentioned earlier in the interview that you like to travel. Do you travel a lot for work, would you say?
No, I don't travel a lot for work. I wish that I did. Mostly, my traveling has been, with my family. Here I do like to, visit frequent, bigger cities from time to time. I have a hobby of writing. So I do like to get away for that. So a lot of times I have my favorite little locations that I'll like travel to write. But as far as work related, when I worked for other companies, yes, I would travel a lot to have to go to meetings and stuff. But right now, like traveling work basically consists of, just seeing what's out there, seeing, studying other coffee shops, seeing what works for them, and possibly, just like checking the market, the retail, commercial market in other locations. Because, I would like to expand one day.
Can you name any a couple of places that you really like to travel to?
Well, my favorite, they're not very far away. It's kind of like my little home away from home. Charlottesville, Virginia is like my little go-to place. Like when I need to get away from Roanoke, it's not a very long road trip. So it's, I like to go to Charlottesville, Virginia, just hang out in their downtown little Civic Mall area. They have a lot of cool coffee shops there that I like to visit and just sit and write, or I'll, catch up on emails from work, do paperwork and stuff like that. So Charlottesville, Virginia is my little home away from home. And I do like Virginia Beach too. Virginia Beach is a nice little getaway. It's a little bit longer drive, but it's definitely worth it.
Do you have any standout memories from your travels?
Not really. You mean as a kid or
just any time, like anything that you can remember that's like kind of a core memory for you?
I'm definitely looking forward to, like, I got my passport for the first time last year. So it's been one of the things on my bucket list to do. And I finally was able to get my passport before the pandemic hit. So I definitely am looking forward to using that. I've never traveled outside of the country at all. So I definitely have plans to do that. But as far as like just, traveling, I've places like Atlanta, DC, I will say probably Atlanta stands out the most, but it was a family trip that we decided to take to Atlanta. It was like mid-July, And I don't know if you've ever been to Atlanta in July, but it was like 120 degrees. And it was so miserable. And like my dad was like, wanting to see like, the stadium, the baseball stadium and all these places. And like here we are, like walking the streets in Atlanta, and like it's like 120 degrees. It was just so hot. I will never forget that. But we were also able to like do some stuff like see, like the house that Martin Luther King grew up in as a child, and we were able to do some stuff like that. That memory stands out a lot.
Do you have any, like I feel as if you hold a lot of identities, being like a business owner, being gay, growing up religious, now not so much anymore. The like intersection of that all, like, do you have anything to add onto that? Like how all those identities, have kind of come together for you?
It's just the ultimate goal is being to be happy, and you can't be, I've had like, yeah, you're right. I am African American. I am female. I am a business owner. I am gay. So I feel like I have like all of these things, that kind of like these hurdles. But ultimately in the end, I'm a people person, Even though I don't want to be like it's weird. Like I'm an introvert, like hardcore. I'm a very shy person, and I always end up working in the public eye, and so it's just so weird how that all happened. But no, it's just like the ultimate goal is like life is just too short. Like you have to be happy. I believe in self-care. It's like the older I get, I believe in self-care. You have to take care of yourself, and everyone doesn't know what's best for you, and so you just have to kind of like step out there and be you. And yeah, I mean, I don't hide it. I don't hide, me being gay. I'm very open with it. But yeah, I mean, it's just like you just have to be yourself, and I've just basically reached that point where, like, I'm all about my business and being happy, and those things are the most important things to me right now.
Can you, thinking, you grew up in Roanoke, it's kind of the South in a way. Do you think that has impacted you at all?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because in visiting like cities like D, in larger cities like in Northern Virginia, DC, DuPont Circle, DuPont Circle is like this whole gay community in DC, and like, and I would frequent there. But yeah, like it definitely has impacted me in a small way, growing up in the South, and being gay. Yeah, I definitely, if I have time, it reminds me of a story of my very first serious girlfriend. We dated for 6 years, and but we were actually, it reminded me of a story. We were actually holding hands in one of the shopping malls in Roanoke, and a security guard, and keep in mind this is like in the early 2000s, security guard approached us and he said, "Hey, you can't do that." And we're like, we looked at each other and we're like, "Do what?" And he's like, "You cannot do that." And he pointed down to our hands. And he told us, my girlfriend at the time was Vietnamese. Of course, I'm black. And he pointed down to our hands and he said, "You can't do that." And he was implying that we were not allowed to hold hands. And You know, I'm pretty cool, laid back, calm person. I'm like I said, I'm really shy, easygoing. I wasn't expecting my at the time girlfriend to it kind of really set her off the wrong way. And she was from DC, so she, wasn't really used to that either. And but yeah, just things like that. Growing up in the South or being in Roanoke, it's definitely a lot different from even from cities that's just like 4 hours away, in no Northern Virginia. So it's definitely kind of opened my eyes to a lot.
Yeah, that, I'm sure it has. That's
Yeah, it was,
horrible.
yeah, it was weird. It was a very weird situation.
Yeah. Would you say Roanoke has gotten better in terms of acceptance?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, definitely, I think so. Oh, for sure. Yeah, because now that I have friends that have kids, they're same sex, couples that have adopted kids from foster care and then into final adoption. So I definitely think that Roanoke has definitely progressed for sure. We do have a long way to go. We really have a long way to go, but we have definitely come a long way, if that makes sense.
So what kind of made you decide that you wanted to stay in Roanoke? I guess what's some of your favorite things in Roanoke or about Roanoke?
I guess, it's like Roanoke is like it's nice to get away. Like I've tried living in DC, and I'll be honest with you, even though like I love visiting bigger cities, I love to get away, but I actually tried living in DC. I tried moving there with my girlfriend at the time, and I cried. I literally cried, and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "I want to go home." And so we moved back here to Roanoke. It's nice to get away, but Roanoke does have that, it's a smaller city, but it's not too small. And it kind of reminds me of Charlottesville in a way. But it's kind of one of those things, the people are, nice. For the most part, I've never had any, and I'm sure every place you go to has its, pros and cons, but for the most part, I do like the area. I live in the downtown area, so I can, walk to work if I want to, ride my bike to work. So I do. I kind of like the whole the ambiance. It's definitely progressing. Roanoke is definitely progressing for sure.
Would you say that your identity as a gay woman is kind of a defining feature for you in your life, or do you think it's more of like an afterthought?
There was a time when I was like, it's nice to not be able to hide it. So, every chance I get, I don't go screaming, "Hey, I'm gay, I'm gay," but I don't hide it. I've hid it for so long, or long enough to where I was to the point where it's weird. It's kind of an afterthought, because it's just I am who I am. But at the same time, I mean, it does, I guess it does kind of define you in a way.
How I know you mentioned the story earlier about one of your coworkers handing you that magazine. But when did you kind of start to realize that your identity was a lot different than the people around you?
Oh gosh. Honestly, I was in second grade. And I can say it was a crush now. I didn't really know what it was back then, but I was in second grade and like I was just like, you know, I had this crush on my teacher. It was so strange. And I know you say it's just second grade, but like I remember like looking at her and being like, oh my God, she's so pretty. And I would volunteer, like, you know, I would, you know, pass out papers. I would like always be the one to volunteer, like raise my hand to help or pass out papers or like collect papers and do little stuff. It was so weird. Now that I think about it, it's just like really, it's kind of weird. But yeah, I was in second grade and I remember, like now I'm thinking like, you kind of think, am I supposed to be like feeling this way? And of course you don't know anything about, you know, sexual identity back then, like, you know, at that younger age, but it was in second grade when I like had this crush on my second grade teacher. And from there, I just knew that there was something different about me. Like, you know, I knew that I was attracted to girls, like, you know, even in elementary school and middle school. And yeah, I just always knew. So second grade is one of my first memory of like feeling different.
And when, like, how soon after that did it kind of, you started to like realize like more that it was like for sure, was it in second grade or was it after?
No, it was probably, I was in, I went to Huff Lane Intermediate School. So it was Virginia Heights, in Virginia Heights Elementary School. We went on a field trip to the planetarium, I don't even think it exists anymore, but it was here in downtown Roanoke. And there was this girl who, you know, asked if she could sit beside me on the way to the field trip. And so I was like, yeah, that's fine. So we sat beside each other on the bus going to our field trip. So we got into the planetarium and I think this was like fourth grade. So we got into the planetarium and then so she's like, you want to pretend like, I don't remember the term that she used. It wasn't boyfriend, girlfriend, but she's like, it was kind of like, you want to pretend like we're a couple. And so, you know, I'm so shy and I'm still shy. So she's like, let's hold hands. And I remember like holding hands in like this planetarium. And then I knew that, of course, it felt a lot different from second grade to fourth grade. But then I knew that like, okay, you know, I think this girl's cute. And so it became a little bit more than that. And then it wasn't until my freshman year in high school when I actually experienced, you know, girls hitting on me. And so, yeah, it wasn't really until my, I guess, freshman year of high school when I actually knew for a fact that, okay, I am gay. This is who I am.
Do you think from like second grade till your freshman year of high school, why do you think it took so long to like, I guess, like come to that realization?
Well, you know, a lot of things, you know, again, like my strict upbringing in the church. You know, these were thoughts that, you know, always, or feelings that I had to suppress because, like, you know, growing up in a church that preached against it and condemned you to hell for having those thoughts. I think that probably aided in it. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't, that's the only thing that I can think of and why it took me so long to finally to say, oh, this is who I am. So I get it. So, I mean, I will say my uncle was also a teacher at my, my junior high school, as well as my high school. So I didn't really want anything getting back to him because I would always be afraid that, you know, he would then like tell my mom, you know, tell my family. I think that was part of it too.
Can you think of any like defining moments on how you like since that point in your life till now that like any defining moments that have kind of, I know you said your goal in life is like to be happy. So are there any defining moments that just like bring you a lot of happiness?
And are you like just in general?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, just my accomplishments. I'll say again, and you know, I know I mentioned, you know, I'm a workaholic, but you know, one day I would like to not be able to work so much and be able to separate, you know, and have a little balance, you know, or being able to step away from working so much to actually, you know, doing more things that I enjoy doing. But I will, yeah, I mean, just like defining moments, it's just like where I came from and to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just in general, it's just like a big achievement for me.
Yeah. Do you have any, or can you think of any trials that you have faced as a business owner through your years?
I mean, everything is a trial as a business owner. The risks that you take, in general, like, you know, you definitely have to have, I think a strong backbone for it. You definitely have to have the will to want to be in it. You know, it's, and two, you know, like, yeah, I mean, just a business owner in general, it's just like everything is like, it's a trial. But, you know, you have to surround yourself with people who believe in you and believe in the dream. And that definitely helps a lot. And, you know, to have a support system for people who actually believe in your dream just as much as you do. Granted, you know, no one is going to, you know, want it as much as you. But, like, at the same time, it's good to surround yourself with a group of people that definitely believes in the dream as well.
Would you say your support system is like both your family and your friends, or is one kind of more important than the other?
I think, you know, family is definitely a good support system. You know, it's like my nephew. He's been working for me for 7 years. And, you know, I think that, you know, and I do have a good support system, you know, with my sister and, you know, and my nieces and nephews. And so, yeah, like, I mean, I think that it's important. Yeah, family is definitely important to have as a support system. But also too, people don't always have that. And so, you know, just because, you know, it's not blood doesn't mean it's not family. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, just a good support system in general. To me, it doesn't matter if it's your family or friends, just as long as, you know, your support system is strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess our time is almost up. Is there anything else that you would like to add before we end this interview?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay. Well, then, thank you so much for being a part of this recording.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For allowing me to be.